Now, today I want to talk about a specific group of people that will be left behind on the day of the rapture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 is a passage from the New Testament of the Bible that provides insight into the character of people in the last days, and we all know that we are living in the last days. And the characteristics that we see listed in this passage of Scripture are the same characteristics that we see happening in our day and era. The passage outlines several negative traits and behaviors exhibited by people in the last days. These characteristics include selfishness, self-centeredness, and a focus on personal desires and interests above all else. People will become lovers of themselves, seeking personal gain and pleasure without regard for others. Furthermore, Paul mentions that individuals in the last days will be driven by greed and materialism, pursuing wealth and possessions at the expense of moral values. They will engage in dishonest practices, exploiting others for personal gain. Paul also highlights the prevalence of arrogance, pride, and boastful attitudes among people in these times. They will have a sense of superiority and display a lack of humility or gratitude. However, today we are going to be focusing on one verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Those who display a form of godliness are those who outwardly show religious behavior. They appear to be godly, but it is only a facade. Their religion lacks true power, as seen by their unchanged lives. They talk about God, but continue to live in sin, and they are content with this lifestyle. So, what is a simple definition of godliness? It is living in a way that reflects the character of God, obeying His commandments, and seeking to honor and please Him in all areas of life. An even more simple definition of godliness goes as following. Godliness is not sinning. Godliness is not sinning. How do we know Jesus was godly? Because He lived 33 years on this earth not sinning. Who is the godliest person in your church? Well, it is the person who sins the least in your church. Who is the least godly person in your church? It is the person who sins the most. Now, our Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, tells us that there are a group of individuals who have a form of godliness. This group of people will be left behind during the rapture, and when they are left behind after the rapture, a percentage of them will be shocked that they are left behind, because in their minds, they were Christians, and a percentage of them will not be shocked because they know that the way they have been living is against the Word of God. The truth is, you know that God is, and you know that this same God who is the same God who made you. You know that God is eternal. You do. You know that God is invisible and omnipresent. Therefore, you know that God is watching you. And you also know that on one day, God will judge you. The truth is, some of you have God's laws, you have the Bible, you know the Bible, but yet you do not do what the Bible says. That right there is what is spoken of in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We are moving towards the rapture, and those who have a form of godliness but deny its power will be left behind. Now, let us consider the scenario 24 hours before the rapture. The sky will not turn black midday, causing an apocalyptic appearance. The sun will not stop shining, and there won't be an overwhelming meteor shower dominating the skies. People will not be looking up, anticipating the rapture. There will not be a great earthquake shaking the foundations of the earth, nor will the waves roar uncontrollably. Lightning will not flash incessantly. These dramatic events described will not occur 24 hours before the rapture. Instead, people will continue living their normal lives, either in godly or ungodly ways. Picture the scene, a world hurrying with activity, people going about their daily routines, living their normal everyday lives, oblivious to the impending moment. The Bible tells us that when the rapture takes place, it will occur suddenly. The world will be caught off guard, unaware of what has transpired. The godly will be living in alignment with God's will, while the ungodly will continue in their sinful ways. Unlike other prophetic events, the rapture will happen without any prior signs or announcements. There will be no countdown, no ticking clock to warn us. The Bible assures us that no one knows the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. This truth emphasizes the urgency of living in readiness at all times, for the rapture could occur at any moment. For all we know, you and I and the whole world could be 24 hours before the rapture this very moment. If not the rapture, some of us could be 24 hours from breathing our last breath. Are you living a godly life, a life of not sinning? Are you living a godly life or an ungodly life? And remember, the simplest definition of a godly life is not sinning. A godly life is not having a secret addiction that no one knows about. A godly life is not having a secret life that you are doing your best to keep hidden. A godly life is one life. A godly life is not cheating on your husband. A godly life is not cheating on your wife. A godly life is not engaging in dishonesty or deceit, whether it be in personal relationships or business dealings. A godly life is not driven by selfish ambition or a relentless pursuit of personal gain. A godly life is not characterized by a lack of integrity or a disregard for biblical moral values. A godly life is not marked by harboring bitterness, resentment, or unforgiveness towards others. A godly life is not consumed by materialism and the relentless pursuit of wealth and possessions. A godly life is not defined by engaging in sexual immorality. The godly will continue to live in obedience to God's word, remaining faithful and steadfast. Their lives will be marked by love, humility, and devotion to Christ. On the other hand, the ungodly will persist in their rebellion, indulging in worldly desires and rejecting the truth. They will be blinded by their sinful pursuits, unaware of the impending divine intervention. Now, what is godliness? Godliness is not a mystical quality. It is not a vibe. Godliness is not about whether you can preach or whether a person has any public gifts. The godliest people can be Garden Day variety saints that no one knows or listens to. Don't ever make the mistake in believing because someone has a great following or has a big platform or a megachurch, that person is godly. Godliness is not about performing miracles or performing wonders. Godliness is not sinning. Godliness is, it is living in a way that reflects the character of God, obeying His commandments. It is not living a double life. It is not living one life for when people are watching and completely different life when no one is around. That is godliness. In a quiet suburban neighborhood, there lived a man named Michael. Michael was a respected member of his community, known for his active involvement in the local church. He held a prominent position in the congregation and was regarded as a pillar of righteousness. However, beneath this facade of godliness, Michael harbored a secret that challenged the authenticity of his faith. Despite being a devoted husband to his wife of many years, Michael found himself captivated by the allure of temptation. He had developed an emotional connection with a woman he met through a community outreach program. They began meeting in secret, sharing intimate conversations and stolen moments of affection. Although both were married, they justified their actions by claiming that their spouses were unaware and unaffected. Michael found himself torn between his commitment to his marriage and the excitement of this forbidden relationship. In an attempt to justify his infidelity, he convinced himself that his actions didn't deny his wife anything, In fact, he argued that these secret encounters added an element of excitement to his relationship with his spouse. Despite his role as a prominent figure within the church, Michael felt no guilt for his actions. On Sundays, Michael faithfully attended church and actively participated in teaching a class. He presented himself as a devout follower of Christ, wearing his religious mask for all to see. However, deep down, he knew that his behavior contradicted the principles he purported to uphold. This story sheds light on the concept of having a form of godliness but denying its power. Michael's actions exposed the discrepancy between his public image as a religious leader and his private choices. His attempt to compartmentalize his faith and indulge in sinful desires highlighted the emptiness of his spirituality. The moral of this story aligns with having a form of godliness. It serves as a cautionary reminder that true godliness requires an authentic, wholehearted commitment to living out one's faith. Superficial displays of religious activities and empty rituals hold no value if they are not accompanied by a genuine surrender to God's transformative power. Now, I want to ask you a question today. If we were 24 hours from the rapture, do you have true assurance of salvation? Or have you lived an ungodly life, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? You may ask, how can I live a godly life? Focus on the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ was not only put there to free you and I from sin's penalty, it was also there for us to live godly lives and for us to die to sin and to say no to sin. The cross was also there so that sin's power over us may be broken. There are those who are listening to me whose Christian lives are no different from what they were years ago. In fact, their lives remain just the same as it was before the date they claim to have been converted. What are we to say about people like this? You have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Are you saying that God has saved you, filled you with the Holy Spirit, and redeemed you, yet you continue to live in sin? What are we to say about people like you? Anyone who truly comes to know Christ hates sin and lives a life that shows their hatred for sin. Yes, we do not enter heaven or receive salvation because we do not sin. It is by the grace that we are saved. However, anyone who is saved by grace is transformed, for they have died with Christ on the cross. In conclusion, the words spoken carry a weighty challenge for those who claim to be followers of Christ. It is a call to self-reflection and examination of the authenticity of our faith. We cannot ignore the stark reality that there are individuals among us whose Christian lives show no transformation, remaining stagnant and unchanged over the years. The question arises, what shall we say about people who profess godliness yet deny its power? Can we truly claim to be saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and redeemed by the blood of Christ while continuing to live in a manner contrary to His teachings? Genuine salvation in Christ produces a profound transformation within the hearts and lives of believers. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit empowers us to hate sin and live in a way that reflects our love of God. We are not saved by our own efforts or by avoiding sin, but solely by the unmerited grace of God. However, the transformative work of grace within us is unmistakable. True followers of Christ are called to embrace the reality that they have died with Him on the cross. This identification with Christ's death signifies a profound break from the power and dominion of sin in our lives. The old self is crucified, and we are raised to newness of life in Him. This new life is characterized by a genuine hatred for sin, a desire for holiness, and an unwavering commitment to live in accordance with God's Word.